Hello and welcome to Career Corner, where we answer your career cues. My name is Lucas Kaufman, and joining me today, we've got an awesome guest. Joining me today is Brian Guskey, a physical therapist here to talk about careers in physical therapy. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lucas. Thanks for having me.
So starting off, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm from Utica, New York, and went to Ithaca College. So I graduated in 2014 with my doctorate of physical therapy. I lived back in Utica for a year after that. And then in 2016, I moved here to Rochester, met my then girlfriend, now wife. And now we are happily settled in a little suburb outside the city of Rochester.
So, Brian, what sparked your interest in physical therapy? You know, what made you go to school for that?
So in high school, when I was deciding on majors and what I wanted to study, what I wanted to do ultimately, I really had three interests at the time. One of them was teaching. The other was nutrition. And then I was also interested in exercise and movement. So I kind of looked at the landscape, if you will, professions that would kind of blend them. And I found physical therapy and ultimately kind of made the choice to jump into a six-year program at Ithaca.
Brian, you mentioned that you have a focus in orthopedics. Was that always the track you knew you wanted to take, or did you consider some other specializations?
I had some other interests, but orthopedics is just where I found myself. I liked kind of the manual therapy side of orthopedics, being able to use my hands. I liked I like sports. I like working with active individuals and working with older adults who are looking to kind of extend their longevity. So I have some interest in geriatrics a little bit. I never kind of throughout school was really interested in pediatrics and motor development, but now having a son, I'm very interested in it. So in terms of my current interests, I'm a little kind of scattered right now. One of the benefits of going to Ithaca College or really all PT schools is you have a large experience or exposure to different settings. So we had to do an inpatient clinical, we had to do an outpatient clinical. And so that gave me kind of some insight. And ultimately, I found that the best fit for me was outpatient orthopedics. So I never really considered anything else. I wrapped up school in 2014. And then that following year, I chose to do an orthopedic residency program. I would travel there once a month to take the weekend long intensive courses and then come back. I was living in Utica at the time and working at a private practice there. So I was doing a lot of time traveling and kind of driving back and forth between Utica and Ithaca to kind of study more about orthopedics. And then I was seeing, you know, patients and clients at the private practice in Utica.
So Brian, what was it like? Kind of, what's the interview process like in your field? And what was it like kind of getting started?
I chose to do an orthopedic residency program. So that there was an interview process with that, where basically you had your traditional, you know, interview questions that we all go through, but then also kind of a clinical reasoning type of question where you're given a couple cases and, you know, you have to kind of walk through your thought process on how you would deliver care to those people. So a little different than maybe a traditional interview. Also, you know, that your kind of general questions about why do you want this position? Why do you want to work for X or Y company? You know, what do you see kind of as your trajectory or path? What are you interested in? Because there's a few different directions that, at least in a setting like that they'll ask about. Typically, always in the interview process, the interviewer is wanting to get an idea of one, why you want that position, two, you know, where do you see yourself going? And it's totally okay if you don't know the answer to that. And then three, usually some sort of clinical reasoning questions so they can kind of understand how your brain works from a treatment perspective.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you have your own practice now, is that right?
Yeah. So kind of fast forward, I did that for a year and then ultimately moved to Rochester. As I said before, I worked with a larger medical system here for close to 8 years. During that time, I had some pretty cool opportunities to go back to school again. So I went back and got my master's in medical management. I got my master's in business administration. And ultimately, over the last probably year and a half now, about a year and a half, I've started Motive, which is my private practice. So still working with active people, similar population that I was before. But also I was able to bring in some nutrition coaching, some health coaching into that. Yeah, it's been great. I really love it. I love the challenge of being being a business owner and entrepreneur.
Awesome. And are there any key differences between working in your own practice versus working for a pre-established, maybe for a hospital or a residency or some kind of outpatient program?
So where I was before was fairly busy, outpatient practice, which was great. I learned a lot. I had great opportunities there. Typically your patients are coming to you because there's a referral in the system. Now it's a little bit different. Now I'm kind of going to people where they're having kind of those problems. So rather than being in a clinic and having, patients come to me, I'm kind of going to, the sporting events or the gyms or the what have you, where people are typically encountering those problems, and then meeting them and engaging and having conversations and a little bit more, getting out there into the community and getting out there into the wild, if you will.
So, Brian, we here at the Career Corner know that you're a very busy guy. So tell the folks at home what your day-to-day looks like.
It's going to look different based on the setting and the setting you're in and kind of what you're doing, the path you're on. But traditionally, what it was, I'll start there, was working, a staggered shift of either 7 a.m. to 3:30 or 10:30 to 7, and that would alternate each day. And I would see patients, all morning, have a lunch break, and then all afternoon. So that was kind of my past professional life, if you will. And now it's a little bit different. So for example, like Mondays, one day a week, I try to keep open for kind of planning, structuring my week, administrative stuff. That's one day a week. And then the rest of the week, I have kind of a hybrid practice. So I'm mobile in that I go to offices, gyms, homes, work with clients and patients there. I also rent some space at a local studio here. So I'm either out in the community seeing people at those locations, or I'm at the studio having them come to me. I'm doing some virtual telehealth care. So sometimes I'm in front of the computer delivering service, on coaching calls for health coaching and nutrition coaching. And really, it kind of varies by day what that looks like. My wife and I just welcomed a baby boy over the last, about 6 months ago in June, he joined us. So that's been an adjustment. But really, the flexibility, of my kind of, professionally, my entrepreneur kind of, role now, has been really, really nice.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Are there any points in your career where you struggled? And that can be, specifically, specific events, or if, there were any times that were generally stressful or anything like that.
Yeah. That's a good question. There definitely were, many kind of throughout my 10 years of practicing at this point. You're constantly giving, right? It's a profession of service, right? You're taking care of people. It's a wonderful, wonderful profession in that you get so much back when you're helping somebody kind of achieve their goals and get back to doing the things that they love. And also the connections that you make and the rapport that you build with your patients and clients. In my experience and based on the conversations I've had, it's unlike any other. So I really love that side of it, but it can lend itself to burnout. And I think we saw that became a really big problem in our healthcare system, especially over the the course of the last, you know, 4 years with the pandemic. So there were definitely points where I felt that and felt it really strongly. And ultimately, that was kind of a big factor in why I made the decisions that I did over the last couple of years to start my own practice. I was feeling burnt out. I wasn't enjoying what I was doing as much. It wasn't bringing me as much joy and satisfaction. And I really didn't know kind of where I was going in terms of a career path professionally. And I knew I needed to make a change. Otherwise, it was going to not end well. So, but there were other times when I was back in school, you know, if you can kind of imagine, you know, seeing however many people in a clinic, whether it's 10, 12, 14, 16 people on a busy day, driving to campus, being in class for 4 hours at night, and then coming home and just kind of hitting the reset button, you know. Going back to school with a full-time career for sure was stressful. And now, you know, I have different stress each day, different worries, but yeah, I wouldn't trade these for what I was going through before.
Yeah. And how do you deal with the stress that comes from burnout?
To stay engaged and motivated and passionate about what I was doing. A good friend and colleague of mine, Tim Reynolds, who's actually a professor at Ithaca College in the anatomy and physiology department. We worked on a book where we interviewed over 70 professionals in the physical therapy space and industry, clinicians, researchers, innovators, business leaders, and asked them questions like, what's your favorite failure? If you had to give one piece of advice or recommendation to PT students, what would that be? And we asked them kind of these professional related questions. Going through that process really helped me kind of re-engage with the profession and realize why I was doing it and why I was in it. That was how, you know, back then I worked through that during a difficult time in my career. And now I would say, just kind of like taking time for myself, understanding how I need to structure my day and week to be more effective. As a business owner, there's a lot of balls in the air constantly. Having time to kind of like step away, be a little bit more mindful and present, and just, you know, sit with a pen and a notebook and kind of map things out really helps lower the stress. Stress isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. If you don't have any stress, that's kind of a bigger problem than if you do have some stress. So I think it's more about how do we adapt to that stress, and then also how do we recover from it.
And Brian, where can people find your book?
So the book is called Movers and Mentors. And so if you, we have also a website that you can go to, moversandmentors.com. You can just search it in Amazon. And then you can also give us a follow on Instagram, Movers and Mentors. We're on there as well. So,
Brian, what are some traits that would help somebody succeed in a career in physical therapy?
Being comfortable with serving, with communicating, with having, you know, at times kind of difficult conversations, but also being a good coach. Because as a PT, you're working with people who are coming in sometimes at their lowest lows. So really being a person that's able to motivate, stay positive, and bring people up, and kind of finding bright spots and small wins. Ultimately, how do you blend kind of like the evidence and what you're doing within a session into coaching and being positive and moving somebody along the continuum of recovery. I think curiosity is also a big one, because if you're unsure about a certain situation or a certain patient or client, and you're unsure if you're providing the best level of care or the right interventions for them, there needs to be a level of curiosity there to go and find the answers. Passion. Good coach, communication, and then being a good learner and having some curiosity, I think would be something that I would look for if I were hiring a PT.
So now we know the kind of personality traits that you need to be successful in this career. But what are the, you know, concrete qualifications you need to be a physical therapist, you know, years of school, any exams, things like that?
So it's a licensed profession. So you just need to sit for your licensing exam after you complete school. All programs are now doctorate level. So all PT students are now graduating with a doctorate of physical therapy. Some programs are a 3-3 program, a 4-2 program. Some are 4-3. So generally 6 to 7 years of school. At least Ithaca is kind of a 6-year straight through program. And then you sit for your licensure after that. And at that point, you're ready to practice.
Awesome. And Brian, our last question for you here, it's a two-parter. Is there anything you wish you knew about physical therapy while you were in college? And do you have any other advice for physical therapy majors?
If I were to go back and think, oh man, what would have been beneficial to know? I guess it just would have been how many different opportunities and different tracks there were within the PT profession, and how many cool things you could do with a doctorate of physical therapy. So I think we all have kind of had this construct of, or this belief of, you know, what a PT does. But I think having that background and that education of the movement system allows you to kind of take that knowledge and apply it in several different ways. And going back to the book that Tim and I put together, that exposed us to a lot of individuals that are doing some really cool stuff in different ways. So obviously, if you love working with patients, you love patient care, you want to be in a hospital, or you want to be in an outpatient setting, or you want to start your own business to work with people, that's great. But there's also other ways that you can use that knowledge and apply it. So that would be one thing. So many different opportunities and tracks, and that kind of funnels into my, I guess, final recommendation would be just do some due diligence if you're a PT student, to just have conversations and do research. Look to the person or people or groups that are doing the things that you want to do or that you're interested in, and seek them out and just have conversations. You know, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that PT professionals are very responsive and are always generally willing to give some of their time. But also, you know, take inventory every now and then of what excites you, what motivates you. What are your unique abilities? What are your values? Because I think, again, there's so many different opportunities and ways that you can take a PT career that you really can kind of craft your job, if you will, your career, with your unique abilities and your values and things that you're good at. I think you'll be able to find something that you're really, really not only passionate about, interested about, excited about, but also, you know, you're pretty good at, which is important too.
Yeah. Well, Brian, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lucas. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, that's all the time we have. Thank you for listening to Career Corner. This is the season finale for this semester. So thank you all for coming in to listen. And, you know, we hope to see you next semester. But in the meantime, folks, you do not have to wait for that next episode to come out to get career guidance. You can visit office hours every weekday from 11 to 2 in Mueller Faculty Center 101. I'm Lucas Kaufman, and this has been Career Corner.